Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3, and we're going to go right away to Tom Kennedy. Tom, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
Tom, congratulations, you're getting married.
I am, yes, that's right.
But you've already postponed it once.
I have, yes.
So tell us, when was the original wedding date?
The 24th of April.
And where were you going to get married?
In the local parish church and into the Lakeside Hotel in Killaloe, which is about 15 minutes away.
A beautiful spot.
Yes, yes.
And that was in April, so you postponed it. How many people had you invited?
I had 197 coming in April.
Okay, good, strong country wedding.
Yes, yes.
And where are you at now?
We had our list cut down to 90 after a lot of hassle. And we said we would go for it on the 27th of August. We said we'd get married. So we decided we'd go ahead and do this. We arranged it. We went down to see the hotel, which were top class, very accommodating and everything to us. Mm-hmm. We arranged for social distancing, top table, social distancing, dancing. Everything was ready to go, and now we just can't go ahead with 90, and we can't go ahead with 50 because we will be cutting out some very close family members.
Yeah, so just to remind people, we thought that we were moving forward to the final phase next week.
Leo did announce it in June.
Yeah. But to be fair, I suppose it was always with the caveat that if the numbers stay going in the right direction.
Yes, well, for the last few weeks they were staying in the right direction last week, so we decided we'd go ahead. We had a few personal situations as well, which we said we'd like to go ahead.
Tell us your personal situations, Tom.
Well, my mother-in-law to be died in April.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, and my own father is 89, and we would like him to be at the wedding.
And I'm sure he'd like to see you married
as
well.
Yes, oh God, he would, yes, yes.
So no, you're very anxious, obviously, to get going.
Yeah.
I see, on top of what we were told last night, which is that the pubs and the, you know, more generous gatherings were not going to be allowed from next week, I see Leo Varadkar is now saying that it might not necessarily happen from August 10th either, that obviously put a right spanner in the works for the likes of yourself.
Yes, it has. Like, we have a lot of money paid out to a lot of different people. If we go ahead on the 27th of August, we'll just have to cut it down to 4 because we can't choose family members, close family members, one over another, which would mean we, to no one's fault, to none of the hotels, photographers, music, none of their fault, but we would be down lot of money, you know.
Yeah, would you get your money back just in terms of what's your arrangement with?
Well, you see, it's very hard to know. Now, the hotel has been top class, and they're not breaking any contract either, because the government guidelines are there.
Of course.
There's no one breaking any contracts. It would be actually even unfair to, I think myself, to personally look for the money back, because they would have organised a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, and of course we all know that when it comes to organising a wedding, that there's money going out left, right, centre. There's all sorts of suppliers that you are involved in with flowers and outfits and the whole shebang.
Yes, that's right, you know, and like.
When you went from, because I think anyone who ever organised a wedding will understand that the guest list is probably the most stressful part of the whole thing.
Yes.
When you went from the 200 down to 90, did the 110 people who you had originally intended inviting know that, and did they understand that they had been cut out for this reason?
No, we were going to let them know this weekend.
Right.
But we had the invitation sent out for the first wedding, so they knew they were coming to that one.
Alright, so you haven't even broken the news yet about the first cutback?
No, we haven't.
That must have been caused a few arguments in terms of whose first cousin was going to be left out.
Yes, and it caused an awful lot of stress and all that. Like,
which of you have the bigger families?
I'd say Siobhan probably has. biggest amount of relations, you know. Well, I have a lot of nieces in as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. But it's tough, yeah. It's tough deciding who not to bring.
It is, it is. And like, to cut it to 50, we would have to choose nieces and nephews one over the other, which we cannot do.
So you're saying that if it has to be 50, you're not going to do it?
Well, I'd probably have to go with just the bride and groom and the best man and bridesmaid.
And would you do that?
If all comes to all, but we will be losing an awful lot of money.
And
which is hard to take. Like, you can have marches, protests, street parties, house parties, just adds it. Like, now they're coming out saying contact tracing, they were all saying it's the most important thing. If you don't mind me making something, you can have 200 people going to a restaurant every day for an hour and 45 minutes. You can have thousands coming through airports every week. You can't have 90 close friends and family that you would be able to contact trace within a half an hour in one year. That's what is getting to me. Like.
You think as well that it's rural Ireland should have be treated a bit differently than the places where there is a lot more COVID, which is.
Why not? Other countries have it done. Australia have it done. Germany locked down tower blocks. You know, England done it in Leicester. But we just have to be all painted with the one brush in this country.
Who are you blaming for this, basically? Are you saying that the government is wrong? That the people who are going to the house parties?
Both of them are wrong, but the government should stand up and make a decision. They should say, right, if you're not allowing 90 people at a gathering, why are you allowing a couple of hundred into restaurants every day for an hour and 45 minutes when they say you only need to be 15 minutes beside someone to contact it? My point is, it's way more easy to contact trace 90 local people than a couple of hundred people going into a restaurant. Just contact persons are worried about.
And would you be aware now, is there much COVID or has there been many COVID cases down your way? You're based in Doon.
Yeah, I am. I know of two at the very beginning.
So you've had a very good record.
Very good record. Very good record.
And obviously that's because people were doing the right thing.
Yes,
Tom.
We've all obeyed by the laws and the rules down here and we've done the right thing. And now we're 4 months on, nearly heading for 5 months on. Like, if they were going doing this, I don't think Leo should have came out with his announcement before he was leaving as Taoiseach to make himself look good and say, right, lads, we're increasing the gatherings. I know he put it in, but things were going well. He should just have said, we're leaving it alone, you know.
You feel that your hopes were raised and
yes,
now they've been
everyone's
dashed.
Hopes were raised, yes. It's like the pubs, they were thought they could open first on the 10th of August, which they all had accepted. Now they're told it's the 20th of July. Then they were told it's the 20th of July. You know, everyone's hopes were raised unnecessarily.
How long are yourself, what's your fiancé's name, Tom?
Siobhan.
How long are yourself and Siobhan together?
About 3.5 years.
And how long have you been planning the wedding in total?
About 2 years.
So yeah, it was going to be the party of a lifetime.
Yes, it's the thing we were saving up for the last 2 years. Looking forward to it, you know.
You said there at the start about talking to the hotel about socially distanced dancing.
Yes.
You have to tell me what this is.
Yes, if you're a couple, you can dance together. If there's two couples out, you have to be your 2 metres or a metre apart, was it?
Oh, lads, who's going to police that, though, Tom?
Yeah, but we're all local people. But we had agreed to it. We had agreed to socially distant top table. This isn't the hotel's fault by any means.
Oh, no, and we're not in any suggestion of that. In fact, it's very proactive of the hotel to be putting these suggestions in place.
The hotel set up a wedding room for the 90 people with the socially distant table where we could go down and see it. They set it up as best they could. They went to all that bother the way we could go down and see it before we said we'd go ahead with it.
And so what you were looking at then was the individual tables were going to be 2 metres away from me.
Two metres apart. And
that you'd sit people who were in their own bubbles at the tables together.
Yes, mostly families at the one table together.
Right. And as you say, social distance dancing then was going to be...
Yes, but it was something that we had accepted if we had to get on and do, you know.
And then was there a question about how many staff would be in the room at the same time?
There was. Yeah, that's why your numbers weren't going up to 100. They were coming down to 90 because they might need, if you had a small band and they'd need their staff, they'd need, it would be all tables over drinks and everything, and they need bass staff. So they were allowing 10 for that.
Right, and even the band members would count in your numbers?
Yes, they would. Yes, we accepted all that.
So having taken all that on board and accepted it was going to be a fairly different wedding than maybe the original one you had planned, you're now left thinking, we won't do it at all.
Well, we might have no option.
Will you stay on the line for me, Tom? I want to go to Anthony Staines, Professor of Health Systems at DCU. Anthony, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
What do you, listening to Tom there, I mean, your heart would go out to him.
Yeah, it would. I felt very sorry for him, and I can only offer my sympathy to him. You know, this is virus has caused so much disruption to so many people. But there are other strategies that might help. We put out a proposal to the Irish government, and was in the papers earlier this week, for a zero COVID island.
Yeah, explain this to the listeners.
At the minute, the plan is to keep COVID at a low level, and there's no special reason it will go away. So we could stay like this for, you know, a year or 2 years or however long it takes. We started with an emergency response. We had a major lockdown which stopped disaster, and that was great. You know, that was the right thing to do. But we now need to make a plan for, well, what do we do now? What we're suggesting is that the plan is to go to zero, as they've done in New Zealand, as they're planning to do in Scotland. And part of that plan is an idea they call a green zone. So to take an example, there was an outbreak in New Zealand about a month ago caused by two visitors from the UK who came in for a funeral. They had a good reason to be there. Mm-hmm. And New Zealand didn't have to close the country, or indeed either of the islands. They closed the area where the outbreak took place, and they brought the outbreak under control that way. So we could do that maybe at county level. You know, if there are counties where there's no cases, where there's no transmission of disease, we could make those green zones. The price is you control people travelling into the green zone.
Yeah, I was going to say then, but sure, then you're looking at throwing up border crossings between Cork and Kerry.
You're not really, between, because that's not practical.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, wouldn't people go to the green zones? Wouldn't people go, like, from if say, Limerick was a hot zone and Clare, where Tom is hoping to get married, was a green zone.
Yeah.
How would you stop people pouring in from Limerick to socialise in Clare?
People are responsible. Not everyone is responsible, but enough people are responsible to do a lot of disease control. There's always a few Egypts. And whatever you do, you know, if you put barriers in the roads, they'd be getting boats up the coast. If you locked off the coast, they'd be flying in with hang gliders. People do the most stupid and unimaginable things. Mm. But you don't have to stop everybody. You just have to stop most of them.
I heard Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, this morning was asked by Brian Dobson exactly on this issue about a regional approach in terms of where COVID was where infection was found and where it wasn't. And I think that if I remember correctly, he said that it was something that was under consideration, but not considered the right approach at this time.
It's part of a package. So it's not a solution in itself. But where we've pulled together ideas from a number of different countries that have been successful. So the wearing masks in public, we've seen the new regulations come in about wearing masks in shops in the last day or so. Mm-hmm. A much vamped up tracking and tracing operation, because HSE are not doing this enough, and they're not doing it fast enough.
Can I ask you just on that point? Because yeah. that's one of Tom Kennedy's main points, is that when it comes to family weddings, it surely would be much easier to track and trace if there was some outbreak at a wedding. It would be very quick. You could very quickly, you have the guest list there to hand, than it would be, say, in a packed restaurant in Dublin.
Oh, yeah. I used to track investigate outbreaks in Yorkshire when I was training in public health. Weddings were a delight because you knew exactly who you were dealing with.
So should we then make special exceptions for weddings?
I think we consider everything, but I think only as part of a larger strategy. So if we have a larger strategy that's going somewhere specific, then we can ask that sort of question. Now, other countries that have looked at this have said no. And there may be a good reason for that, which I haven't understood properly, and that's fine. But at least they've asked the question. And it's very much about having a direction that we're going in and seeing where that leads us. And hopefully that will lead us in a direction that will benefit Tom and people in the same situation around the country.
Okay, let me just ask Tom what he thinks of this idea that we'd have green zones for places with less infection.
Well, I don't know. I can't see it working. Because, as you say, people will go across from one border to another. Mm. There's people at the moment driving 20, 25 miles to go to a restaurant to get a few drinks and a meal. So if you have things open in one part, I can't see it. But, like, the people of Dublin and the big cities, you're not going to get out of there because there's house parties. You're saying now there's house parties. You can't police house parties. You can police the wedding.
Do you think that's particularly Dublin and the big cities?
Well, we saw the first weekend the pub opened, the restaurants opened, we saw the streets of Dublin, all over the newspapers.
Yeah, but they did. The second weekend didn't look the same, though.
We saw marching. We saw John Walters, Jim O'Doherty outside the courts, big crowds of people with them. Nothing done to any of them. None of them brought in by the girls, nothing done to them. At a time when we couldn't drive more than 5 miles outside our own home. Like, I think the government, they've done a good job. I'm not saying that. They brought it down to this, but their finer detail is very wrong, I think. And I would like the override, my Hall Martin, someone to explain to me which is the fastest to trace and contact, a packed restaurant or a public gathering with 90 people, family and very close friends. Because at 90, you don't have a big crowd. And that still will let the rest. Big businesses will always win out in this. That's what I am saying. Big businesses will win. The ordinary people don't matter.
Anthony, when you think about what happens at a wedding, you know, it's all, there's a lot of hugs and kisses and emotion and dancing, and even if it's social distance dancing and singing often. At any weddings I've been at, there's been a lot of singing until the small hours of the morning.
Oh, yeah.
All of these things are, you know, red alert issues for the spread of COVID, are they not?
That may be why other countries that have looked at this have said no. I haven't had the focus or the time to look onto that particular question, but I would have colleagues that would and would be able to make a good assessment as to whether it made sense to do it that way or not.
What do you think about the decision not to move to opening the pubs, Anthony?
I feel very sorry for the small pubs. I mean, I really do. There's so many family pubs scattered around Ireland, and they make a big contribution to kind of the social life in Irish villages. And I hope they can be reopened later in the year, because it is the smaller pubs that are getting hammered by this.
I've heard some colleagues in science of yourself referring to pubs as very high risk. Would you agree with that in terms of COVID?
Any crowded area is high risk. So a big restaurant with a large number of people sitting around is very high risk. I had a friend of the family who was staying in a hotel, which I'm not going to name, but a very wealthy, prominent rural hotel. The bar had a bunch of Americans from Texas and Florida in it who were doing no social distancing, whatever. And my friends left because they felt it was too dangerous. So it's the crowding that matters. Nightclubs are really dangerous. Crowded pubs are very dangerous. Uncrowded pubs, much less so. If you have three or four people sitting in a pub, it's not particularly risky. So it's a matter of balance, like many things in life. If we all want to be perfectly safe, we'd all go and live in a mountaintop. But that's not feasible. It's not what anyone wants to do. So we're trying to bring this under control without completely demolishing the rest of our lives, really.
Yeah, and so do you think there should be, you know, strands in terms of when you see, if we can't just say no pub can open, you know, unless you're serving food until whenever the date becomes, whenever it's deemed safe enough. But you say, should there be pubs that, you know, if you can, no more than 10 people in a pub or no more than 20 people in a pub, and those pubs can go ahead and open?
Yeah, because it doesn't make any difference to the risk if you're serving food or not. Like, no odds whatever. So it's the number of people and the amount of time they spend in the one place is the risk.
But I suppose, was the thinking that if you're serving food, people are not milling around, they're sitting at a table, this table service, they're unlikely to be, you know, it's going to cut down the amount of alcohol consumed, possibly. Is that the thinking behind the, we're only allowing restaurants?
But yeah. We could do that with other pubs. It would seriously hit their turnover, but they would have some turnover, whereas at the moment they have no turnover.
Yeah.
So I think that's a possibility to keep in mind for the future.